As we begin, I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Good Friday is the day which we consider the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should understand the significance and the shocking nature of this moment in history. Put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples of Jesus for a moment. They all understood that God had promised a final prophet, a true everlasting king, a deliverer that will save them. They had this messianic hope. And then the one whom they hoped would redeem Israel was crucified. He was put to death like a criminal. Easily one of the most horrific ways to die ever invented. The Romans were ruthless. And Jesus of Nazareth, who many thought would be the promised one, died a brutal death by the hands of the ruthless leaders, having been given over by the leaders of Israel. Let's think about that. Think about how the disciples must have felt. The world is about to change. You think all will be fixed. You think you're going to be freed from the hands of your oppressors because God has provided this Savior Jesus who you've been following around for years and have even seen him do miraculous things and heard him own the false arguments of his religious opponents. And then he's captured and brutally tortured and dies. And yet the amazing claim of these very same disciples, which we see in our text this evening, is this, is that in his death, he conquered our greatest enemies. And in voluntarily giving his life on the cross, justice and mercy kissed. Because of the cross, we don't have to choose between justice and mercy, judgment and grace, wrath and love. Because of the cross, these antitheses are no longer opposed, but consistent. You see, every worldview has a problem, and that is justice and mercy. How do they relate? Can you have both? You see, only a crucified Christ makes sense of the world in which justice is owed, but mercy is needed. Our text is a letter written to the church of Colossae, who were seemingly being tempted to believe other worldviews that deny who Christ is and what he has done on the cross. And in this book in which our text is found, Paul says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why does he say that? He says that so the Colossians would stop looking elsewhere for wisdom and knowledge. If you have Christ, you have access to all wisdom and knowledge. So stop looking, Paul is saying. Stand firm in what you've been taught. If you believe these other views of the world, you will be following the rulers and the authorities that Jesus himself is said to, in the verse after our passage, to have disarmed and triumphed over on the cross. So why in the world would you go back to anyone else? Christ is the king. This is Paul's argument. And so he pleads with the people here. But what is the problem? What is our problem? So we'll see two things. First the problem, and then the solution. Of course, you know the solution is our Lord Jesus. But what is the problem? Paul says we are dead, and we need to be made alive. Why? Because we have trespassed God's law, and this requires death. This requires death. Death. Look what Paul says. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And on the cross, he canceled the record of debt that stood against us and its legal demands. We deserved death. As Paul says elsewhere, the wages of sin is death. In our day, our society, similar to the Colossians society, has put forth many alternatives to the problem of the world. One is injustice. Some say injustice is the primary problem of the world. Some would argue that inequality that exists is the main issue. And if we got rid of this injustice in the world, then it would solve all of our problems. One problem with this perspective, of course, is that no one agrees on what injustice is and what it is not. Another thing our world likes to say is mental illness. Maybe this is the primary problem with the world. Some think the world simply needs more counseling or psychiatry to learn how to heal from childhood trauma. Interesting, however, there have been many studies showing that dwelling on past trauma or negative memories can increase negative emotions and further the problem in some cases. Simply dealing with mental illness through counseling or psychiatry certainly is not the solution or the answer. And this is certainly not the primary problem with the world. Others say preventing people from expressing their true identity is the primary issue with the world. Some argue the issue in our society is because our society suppresses self-actualization. In other words, the highest good is following your own personal impulses, and anything that gets in the way is harmful. But you see, none of these perspectives, either in Paul's day or our own, get to the root of the problem. Here's the problem. Even if we grant that all of these things are serious issues that need to be solved, none of them get to the root. You see, the Christian worldview gets deeper. It says all these things are symptoms, and the root is our hearts. In other words, you will find the problem in the mirror. What's the problem with the world? Look in the mirror. The scripture gives a much clearer account then. Human sin, hearts that are set on our self-centeredness, hearts that have broken God's law, and therefore something needs to be made right. Justice must be served. God's law has been broken. And you see, the Christian view says all the problems of injustice, mental illness, bad education, identity problems, all of this is due to either the curse of the fall or human sin. Human beings are the problem. We are the problem. And the scripture says, stop pointing the finger. You're looking too far if you do that. So what is our solution? In Paul's day, many solutions were given. Some were arguing to the church of Colossae that their religiosity is the solution. Obedience to outward commands, do not taste, do not touch, or self-discipline, or asceticism. Paul writes to them and says, none of these things are the answer at all. None of these things are the answer to the problem of human sin. They may appear to be a solution, but they are not. In our day, people are always looking for a solution to the problems of life. Overall, the big solution our culture now offers in our secular society is self-realization, or finding your true self by giving in to your desires or emotions and your feelings. This is what the solution to all of our issues are. You need to be able to do this. But this philosophy, my friends, will completely destroy your life. And what we see often is either mercy with no justice or justice with no mercy. You see, we need justice because it is owed. And we all want that, by the way. Everyone really wants justice in the end. But we all need mercy as well, because we are hopeless without it. And so as you know, the answer is, the solution is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now I proclaim to you what God himself has said in our very passage, that God nailed our debts to the cross. You see, none of these ideas reconcile mercy and justice. Without the gospel, justice and mercy are separate and contradictory ideas. But the cross is the only way that both justice and mercy can meet. If you have a society that lets everyone do whatever they want, that society will have no justice. If the society cracks down on all injustice, there'll probably be no mercy. But if God the Son paid the penalty of death that your sins deserve, then God can truly judge evil, and he can be the justifier of those for whom Jesus died. You see, Christ couldn't just come and kill the Romans and call it a day. He needed to defeat sin and death, the root of our problems on earth. And in nailing our debts to the cross, if indeed you believe, God made you alive in Jesus, having forgiven us our sins, because he is both just and the justifier of those who come to him in faith. Listen to God's solution in our passage. Two things: we need to be made alive, and the legal penalty must be paid. And the cross perfectly accomplished this. All else will fail you. And listen, what more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? You have a Savior who actually suffered. You have a Savior who actually is able to sympathize with your weaknesses. You have a Savior who not only is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, but he also knows what it is like to be oppressed, to be hated, to be spat upon, to be slandered, to be weak, to be hungry and tired. And you even have a Savior who knows what it is like to die. Why would you look elsewhere? What you've been searching for your whole life is expressed in these two little verses in the middle of Colossians, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who is nailed to the cross so that you may be made alive. What other view of the world gives you true freedom and true justice? What other worldview doesn't crush you under the burdensome weight of its expectations, and instead not only forgives you completely, freeing you from the yoke of guilt that we all feel, and yet promises that true justice will be brought about in the end when our Savior returns? Not only is God's judgment just, you see, his mercy is just. Because only in the cross do justice and mercy kiss. And we know that this is necessary. Surely there are good arguments and rational reasons to believe this and the gospel. But in your heart of hearts, I don't need to prove this to you. You know you're part of the problem. You know the problem is your human condition, your sinfulness. You know that's what's really wrong with the world. And you know justice must be served. And so the word this evening is that the God who created you, who doesn't owe you anything except just judgment, has poured out his judgment upon his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that those who believe on him can find mercy in his name, having all their debts along with its legal demands taken care of and met. You see, in Christ, justice and mercy meet, and only a crucified Christ makes sense of the world that is in need of justice, but also in need of mercy.